Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now our guest is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life, and we're going to get an update on abortion and the pro-life movement. And Father Pavone, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, it's so good to be connected with you again. We go back a long time, and I'm very happy to be with you and your audience.
Sure, and your website is endabortion.us. And by the way, let me start by asking you this, a little bit on the personal background. How did you get involved in the pro-life movement?
Well, you know, Jerry, it was when I was in high school, and I went to public schools. I went to the March for Life in 1976. That was only the third annual March for Life. My mom and grandmother were going down. They asked me if I wanted to come. I said yes. And I was just so impressed, as people continue to be today when they go to that event, by the size of the crowd, the determination of the crowd to protect the unborn, the diversity of the crowd, and the strange combination, and we as Christians know how to do this, is a combination of joy and sorrow. We have deep sorrow as we face the tragedy of this, really, a holocaust against children. And at the same time, the joy that comes from the Lord who has conquered death and from knowing that we're on the right side of history and the right side of justice. So that so impressed me that I began paying more attention to the abortion issue, more attention to the pro-life movement, till I finally got to the point that I wanted to devote my whole life in ministry to ending abortion. And, of course, that's what I work on now full time.
And how do you do that?
Well, as director of Priests for Life, we have one of the largest pro-life organizations in the world, and we have a team of people, including people like our mutual friend, Dr. Alveda King, and,
yes,
and others, who travel the country speaking in churches, educating people on the issue. We do a lot of broadcasting. We do a lot of publishing. We operate ministries for healing after abortion. It's just a multifaceted organization. We also do a lot of political work and working to elect pro-life candidates, which is so essential. And this great ministry, which, as you mentioned already, is found online at endabortion.us, is just a place where anyone can go who wants to do something to protect these babies, and we'll work side by side with all of you.
Okay, now, if you look at America in terms of, let's say, state-by-state map, it's almost like a checkerboard where some states will pass strongly pro-abortion rights type laws, New York, Virginia. Other states have really strongly pro-life laws, Georgia, Alabama, and there's fallout between the two. But of course, the news media makes it out like, well, the one, you know, the Alabama law, the Arkansas law, those are extreme, but they don't view the New York laws as extreme, or that of Virginia, or Illinois.
Well, as you know what people need to begin to realize is what is being manifested in laws like New York and has passed, Virginia has tried to pass, and other states have also passed recently, like Illinois, are in fact representative of the current policy nationally. Roe v. Wade in 1973 ushered in, at that point, what was and remains an extreme policy, one of the most extreme in the world, allowing abortion at any time during pregnancy for any reason. And the thing that for people to understand is the American people have never been there in their mind, in their attitude, in their opinion. Opinion polls of Americans on abortion show them to be conflicted, but they never have shown any kind of majority support for the idea that you could abort a healthy baby carried by a healthy mother even in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy. And yet, that's not what only these state laws allow. That's also what Roe v. Wade allowed all the way back from 73. So that's the extremism. What these other states are trying to do is to pull back on that, is to challenge that, is to say we in our state, like the people of Alabama who passed one of the strongest pro-life measures, they're saying, look, we the people and our elected representatives and our governor, we are all committed to protecting the children in our state. So why can't we do that? And because what the court did was not only take away the right to life of that child, but the right of the state to protect that child. And this, to so many people, just is, that's the extremism, and people are fighting back against it.
It's interesting, speaking of extremism, look at the reaction and the fallout from Georgia.
Yes.
passing their law. How about a comment about Hollywood and Disney and Netflix and ABC, and there were other groups as well?
Well, you know, we mentioned Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. Of course, she lives there in Florida. She's part of our Priest for Life team.
Right there in Georgia.
And she said, look, and she said, look, you know, we don't want these people in Georgia anyway. You know, we're doing fine on our own, and we're going to protect our children. But to make it, but it shows the other side. They always try to hook it in with the money and business, and they try to say, oh, you know, we're not, unless you allow the killing of babies, we're not going to give you our money. And it's a strange but very predictable mindset on the other side of this issue. They even do it internationally, where pro-abortion administrations will say to other countries, you know, we'll help you developmentally, we'll bring money and healthcare and education into your country, but then at the same time, we're going to push you to change your laws on abortion and let mothers kill their babies. Now, that's not happening. Just the opposite is happening under President Trump and his administration, because this is a pro-life administration. But in the past, the pro-abortion administrations have linked international aid to abortion, and here we see now these companies in the States with the same mentality say, you know, somehow unless you kill your children, we're not going to help your economy. This is just a twisted way of thinking, which is really sad and as you say, really extreme.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because there's, you know, Hollywood loves to tell the rest of the world and the rest of us, don't bully. Bullying is bad. They even have movies about it and so forth. And yet, when Georgia passed that law by the, you know, the people of Georgia, you know, then all of a sudden Hollywood was trying to bully Georgia into, you know, getting rid of that law.
Well, you know, and when Hollywood and these other entertainers and the other businesses, for that matter, have so much influence, it's like, hey guys, what's the matter? You can use the same levers of government and influence and media as the rest of us can. You know, maybe it's that your ideas don't work or that your opinions don't resonate anymore with the American people, but the legislative process in Georgia is just as open to you as it is to anybody else. Make your case in the public square. Be honest. Make your proposals. You know, get your friends in the Georgia legislature to introduce bills that you like. It's like, come on, play on the same playing field. But the fact that they have to resort to that bullying, Jerry, says to me that they know they've lost the American people, that people do see the extremism of abortion on demand, and they're just not buying into it. So you got to resort to bullying when you can't reason with people and you can't make your case persuasively through the ordinary means of changing laws and public opinion. Well, then it seems to me you're on the losing side of the argument.
That's a great point. Okay, the Equality Act, it was passed in the House of Representatives. Thankfully, it doesn't seem to have much of a chance in the Senate, and the president would not sign it into law. But the fact that it was even introduced and even passed in the House is disturbing. What impact, if any, would the Equality Act have on the pro-life and the abortion issue?
It would have this impact. What strategists on the other side of the abortion issue are trying to do is to reframe the argument. You know, Roe v. Wade put it under the, you know, quote, the penumbras emanating from the Constitution and privacy. But even many pro-choice analysts say that decision lacked all constitutional argumentation and validity. What rather many of them want to see is an abortion argument based on the idea of equality, that women, just as with men, under all circumstances, should have, you know, equality in what the options they have in health care and in planning their lives and in childbearing, et cetera. So they think, and probably to some extent they're right, that they can get more constitutional traction, if you will, for equality-based arguments for abortion. Now, the Supreme Court hasn't necessarily indicated that would be persuasive to them. And there have been in the past efforts where the Supreme Court has rejected arguments that say, for example, early on in this debate, the other side tried to say, well, if you're against abortion, that means you're discriminatory against women. And they actually went went up to, that question actually went up to the Supreme Court in the early years after Roe v. Wade, and the court rejected that. It says, no, there are reasonable arguments to be against abortion in America. It doesn't mean you have a bias against women.
Can I stop you? Can I stop you for a second? Yeah. Well, is there a particular decision you're referring to there? I mean, I just...
Yes, the Bray decision, it's called. I think it's Bray v. Alexandria, if I'm remembering correctly.
Oh, okay. Huh.
And... it's a very interesting argument, yeah, and it's very interesting that the Supreme Court rejected that because, you know, still you'll hear activists say it and, you know, especially nowadays, you know, all these people throwing around the word racism and, you know, it's all kind of jumbled up in the same mentality of the left, which is if you don't agree with us, you know, you're bigoted, you're biased, you're racist, you're anti-women, and the other side keeps trying to hammer that accusation against us pro-life people. So what an Equality Act would do, again, regardless of the strength of the constitutionality of the arguments, people on the other side of this issue would try to use it as a battering ram and say, you see, or any of these laws, and again, it doesn't matter how reasonable they are, you know, where people want, for example, in the various states, and most states have them, parental involvement laws, if a minor wants an abortion, even clinic regulation laws to protect the health of women who go to these clinics, et cetera, et cetera. Any of these kind of regulations on abortion, people would start to make the argument, well, this violates equality. Unless you have abortion available without any restrictions whatsoever throughout pregnancy, unless you have that, you are violating the equality of women under the law. That's, in other words, the argument then that would be made if a law like this were to get passed. But as you mentioned, Jerry, and we have to give thanks for this, you know, we have got a president who is ready with that veto pen in hand to reject any kind of legislation that's going to advance the abortion agenda, and boy, oh boy, we're grateful for that.
Yeah. And before we leave the Equality Act, what about tax dollars for abortions? Again, if that passed.
Right. Yes, because people will say, hey, you know, why shouldn't taxpayer funding be available to, you know, because only the argument would be because only a woman could get an abortion. If you're not willing to fund this, you know, you're unjustly depriving women of this particular kind of surgery. And of course, our answer to that is abortion is not medicine. There's no disease abortion cures. There's no medical indication for the killing of a baby. And also, you know, what's troubling about this act is its lack of willingness to have the Religious Freedom Restoration Act provide religious exemptions. And of course, we at Priests for Life, together with many other groups, have been through this in recent years. When the Obama administration tried to force us to provide abortion in our health insurance coverage, we won that case, went all the way up to the Supreme Court. But the point is that it was based on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that we defended ourselves. No citizen should ever be forced to choose between following his or her faith and following the law. But with this Equality Act, it's specifically pushing aside the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It's precisely downplaying any kind of respect for people's religious and moral conscience, and that's a big danger. That should be a big red flag. And again, this current administration is doing more than ever to protect the conscience rights of Americans, especially those in the healthcare industry that might feel pressured to be involved in abortion or other objectionable practices. We've got to defend conscience, and that's one of the reasons that law has to be opposed.
Okay, we have less than 1 minute left. How about a comment about Trump and the courts as we're getting a pro-life update?
Oh, my goodness. We have a president now who has broken all the records, except, like he says, for George Washington is about the only one who has a better percentage rate than he does right now in terms of putting on the federal courts. Now, we know, of course, the Supreme Court gets all the attention, but the president has put now, I think we're over 150 federal judges in place on the courts of appeals and the district courts, lifetime appointments. This is one of the greatest legacies of this president and of the Republican Senate, which has been doing a great job. People need to continue to pay attention to this. We reelect this president, we're going to get the entire federal judiciary flipped in a conservative direction, and this can only be good for life, for religious freedom, for family, and for America itself.
All right. Father Frank Pavone, Priest for Life, thank you so much for being with us. Your website is endabortion.us. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Great to be with you. Thank you very much.